The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
My time is drawing near to be with you. Therefore, I have chosen some very basic things to be able to share with you from my heart, and this is one of them today. Last time we gathered together, I shared with you the joy and the importance of being baptized. Believe and be what? Baptized. I've shared with you the biblical perspective that when we are immersed in the water and when we come up out of the water and when we leave the water, we are really giving out the good news of Christ that he died, he was buried, and on the third day he what? He rose from the dead. One of the greatest joys of the Christian life is to be able to follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. Now, the one that I have on my heart today, I love this. Because you probably have guessed by now that I love the church. I've told you before, I began church 9 months before I was born. And I've been at it ever since. And when I was really just pre-teenager, God called me to full-time work. Now, we're all in full-time, I know that. But you know what I mean. When I was pre-teen, God impressed upon my heart that I was called to minister his word and to lead his people full-time for the rest of my life, and that's what I've been doing. And it's been a privilege to do that. I love the church, the good, the bad, the ugly. I don't think I have many surprises left after 43 years, but maybe there are a few on the horizon. But it's been a delight to pastor all of these decades, and it's also been a delight to pastor you, this church. You're unforgettable for all the good reasons. Now, I didn't expect that when I came here, the oil would go from $100 to less than $30. You didn't tell me that before I came. You kind of kept that a secret. And you didn't tell me that we'd almost be burnt out by fire. You know, there's little things you didn't tell me before I came. But together, we've been through it and we're going through it. God not only brings people to something, he brings people through whatever we face. So it's been just a wonderful blessing to be here with you. And to see some baptized, some come to know Christ, some join the church, that is just heaven for me. When I see people taking steps in God's direction, and always, I believe the engine of the advancement of the kingdom of God is the local church. Let me say it again. I believe the engine. You can have a beautiful car, beautiful truck, but there's no engine in it, no motor in it. Well, it's just something to look at. It's not going to go anywhere. But I believe the church, the local assemblies, hundreds of thousands of them all over the world, the local assemblies are the motor, the engine that advances the greater kingdom of God. Because I believe God rules over all. Amen? I believe everything belongs to him. I believe he has a great plan that he is executing, and the church is the heart of that plan. And I believe every church ought to have influence in every community that God has planted them. Amen? I believe it ought to be the body that has the most significance in any community. Therefore, I'm never satisfied. Isn't that lovely? You know, to have a pastor that's never satisfied. You know, some say, what's wrong with him? Why can't he relax? Well, you know what relaxation is? Relaxation is when the trumpet sounds and the Lord comes back and we're raptured. Then I think I'll relax a little. Right about that. But the topic today is very important. Two fishermen went out Sunday morning, went fishing. I know you don't do that, but Sunday morning went fishing. They fished all morning into the afternoon, caught no fish. And one of the men said this, you know, I think we should have stayed home and gone to church. I think we should have stayed home and gone to church. Well, the other man said, well, you know, we could have stayed home, but I could not have gone to church. And the other guy said, well, why could you not have gone to church? Well, he said, my wife is sick. Now, some of you will take most of the day to figure that one out. Let me just help you to figure it. It seems to be, for some, that there's an enormous number of excuses not to be in attendance at church on Sunday morning. Just between me and you, I still believe Sunday is the Lord's day. Now, I know every day of the week is the Lord's, and He's a mighty God, and we have to serve Him every day. But the Scriptures tell us on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, which is an amazing day. Sunday's an amazing day. The first day of the week, that is Resurrection Sunday. That's when our Lord came out of the what? Out of the grave. Isn't it a beautiful thing to be able to assemble like this on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, and just remember this is really a remembrance of the day He came out of the tomb. Amen? Also, the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent into this world, that was on a Sunday. Very interesting. That was on a Sunday. So even just to attend the place where we worship on this day is significant. Yet there's so many times that we decide to do otherwise. Now I know from living in Fort McMurray for 2 years now, I know there's shift work, that you all have crazy schedules. I talk with everybody I can in the elevator. We live in a condominium downtown here. And I talk as much as I can with people. You know, you have a few minutes at least up and down. I'm almost tempted. I haven't yet. I don't know if I will. It's kind of rude. But I'm almost tempted with some of them to say, what will your last trip be, up or down? I'm not quite bold enough to say that yet. But I'm getting close. You see, the closer I am to leaving, the bolder I'm getting. Did you notice that? I've got to squeeze 3 more years in 3 more weeks. You got it? The church. Sylvester Stallone, you know? He said the church is the gymnasium of the soul. The church, he said it. The church is the gymnasium of the soul. It gives us a working out where we learn, we stretch, we grow, we meet one another. The church. I personally believe, and by the grace of God, my wife and I have practiced it. And I have a suspicion I would have done it if I had never been a pastor. That if you do not have, if we do not have a regular church attendance, we shoot ourselves in the foot. We shoot our children in the leg. And we shoot our grandchildren in the heart. You and I understand, I hope by now, that it doesn't take too long from becoming someone who's devoted to the church to a generation that cares nothing for the church. It only takes about 2.5 generations from the parent to the grandchild. And I'm here to say this. I believe the Bible tells us we are to have the local assembly as a key part of our lives. It's not all of life, but it ought to be a key part of our lives. And if that is not so in your life, or it was not so in your grandparents' life or your parents' life, you have the ability, my dear lady, my dear man, my dear teenager, my dear boy, my dear girl, you have the ability to begin a totally new thing. You can break a trend of non-church attendance, non-church involvement. You can break that and begin something that not only affects you and your life, but the children's lives and the grandchildren's lives. Beautiful reality. Therefore, I want to encourage us today with this matter of having the local assembly as a key part of your life. And I want to get specific. So if you're visiting from another church, you can just apply it to your church. But I want to deal with this matter of becoming a member of the church. We have several hundred people on the list here at North Life, so I'm going to talk about us for a while. We have several hundred. And I'm fully aware now, since moving here, that when we have an assembly like this, we can multiply by 2 or 3 because of all the craziness of your work schedules. Yet of the hundreds that are on our "you belong to this church" list, just a percentage of you are members. Just a percentage of you are members. So somewhere along the way, which I'm being honest today, was a bit of a surprise when I came here. to notice two things. Many attenders have never taken that step of saying, I want to be a member of this church. And that's why, personally, and I've done it for decades, the meeting that follows this meeting, I call it the members' meeting, annual members' meeting, not annual general meeting. Because it's the members who have the privilege, you see, of going into the business of the church and voting on the will of the church and giving some guidance to the church, because they have made a commitment somewhere along the way that's a bit deeper than simply attending. And why? Why do we get involved in membership of the church? If you want to thank me for the time I've been here, come to know Christ, get baptized, and join the church. That's who I am. That's what I delight in. And I believe I'm not too far adrift from the scriptures. What I want to share with you today is not original with me. A number of years ago, many of you have heard tell of Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church in California. Rick Warren, I had shared this with you before. Rick Warren has written several books, made millions of dollars. And when he made all this money, he developed a foundation. And from then on, he decided not to tithe to the church, which I believe every born-again Christian ought to affiliate with the church and financially support the church. I've done it since I was 16 years old, and now I'm about 18. And you can't outgive God. God has 1,000 ways to bless our lives because we're obedient. He doesn't necessarily give buck for buck, dollar for dollar, but he's a mighty God that can pour his blessings on you because of obedience. And when Rick Warren got all of these funds coming in, he decided he's not going to tithe to the church any longer. He's going to give away 90%, and he's going to live on 10 or whatever. I thought that was an amazing thing. He didn't have to do that, right? So in many ways, I respect that man. Because he walks what he talks. And he developed a number of years ago this kind of, it's kind of a template, and that's what I want to use today. I'm not used to using somebody else's material, but I want to use his template about this matter of being connected with the local assembly. Whether it's a gathering of 60, the average size of a church in North America is 65 people. That's the average size of a church in North America, 65 people. Yet most Christians in North America go to larger churches. You understand? So it's both and. It's not either or. And I encouraged one of the pastors this week and said, you have a privilege here of pastoring a church that's considerably larger than the average church in North America. So I come to this time today of just dealing with this matter of why get involved in the local assembly? Why be involved in the local church? Not only do we need the local church, but the local church needs us. Now, I have my little gadget today. I hope I can use it. I hope it works. Oh, there it is. It's a start. Yeah, that's a good one. You see the scripture at the bottom there? I'm going to teach today. I might preach before it ends. I'm going to teach. For God is not a God of disorder, but of what? Peace. Be sure that everything is done properly and in what? In order. I prayed to God when I was very young and began the ministry. I prayed, God, give me a balance of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen? A church can have the Word of God and be cold. A church can have the Spirit of God and be fanatical. But when you get that balance, the Word of God and the what? The Holy Spirit of God. The church will have impact and influence in the community. So therefore, I want to talk about what the church is today. Number one, I think this works. Do we get it? No. Is it on? Do we have it? Oh, dear Lord, help us. Chris, bail me out. Oh, there it is. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? Would you read the top line, please? The church is a what? Fellowship. The church is a fellowship. If the church is a fellowship, that's the Greek word koinonia. Remember in the book of Acts chapter 2, it might even be there. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to what? And to fellowship. And I want to remind you what came first here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. It wasn't simply a social club. It wasn't just a get-together, you see. The fellowship, the koinonia, the participation was in the apostles' teaching. That's why it's very important when we assemble together in different contexts, right? Different venues, different ways. It's important that we know our fellowship is based in the what? In the Word of God. That's what makes the local assembly, the churches worldwide. That's what makes us unique from other organizations, you see. Our fellowship is in the apostles' teaching, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter. The Word of God is where our fellowship is. Isn't it beautiful to gather together here today as a fellowship where we have commonalities? How many believe Jesus was born at the virgin birth? Raise your right hand. You see, that's part of our fellowship. How many believe Jesus lived here 30-some years without sin, never sinned in his mind, his heart, his thought? Raise your right hand. We have an impeccable Savior. We have an absolutely pure Savior. How many believe he went to the cross and he took our place? He died for our sins on the cross. Raise your right hand. How many believe he rose from the dead? Raise your right hand. How many believe he ascended up to heaven? Raise your right hand. How many believe he's coming back again? Say an amen. Good, that's good for Baptists, except my Southern Baptists. You see, the church is a fellowship. The church is a koinonia that's rooted in the Word of God, in the apostles' doctrine. That's why it says they were steadfast. It was common for them to do, to assemble together for teaching, for fellowship, for the Word of God, for prayer, for partaking in the Lord's Supper. It's a beautiful fellowship. And I thank God that I'm part of it. I thank God that he's led me years ago to be able to give some type of influence and leadership to the local assemblies of believers. It is a fellowship unique from other fellowships in the world. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Let me just find it and read it to you. Ephesians chapter, what did I say? 4 and verse, Galatians, Ephesians, okay, I thought I lost it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says this: make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Make every effort. What's this? To keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope. You know what that scripture means? This, the church as a fellowship. We have a unity here that's been created by the Holy Spirit. Yes, I know the church is to a degree an organization. And we are living in this country, and we are an organization to a degree. But more than that, it's an organism. It's a living entity. And the bond that has brought us together is something that the Holy Spirit has done. Do you remember when you were converted to Christ? That's a work of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when the Word of God began, the Scripture began to come alive to you? You began to read it, and it was like, oh, isn't that something? That's a work of the Holy Spirit. Remember when you forgave somebody, a work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the unity we have is not a man-made unity. It's a unity that's been brought to us by Almighty God Himself. Therefore, you are my sister in Christ. You are my brother in Christ. It's a Holy Spirit unity. God did something in our lives. Amen? And we became united to this body called the church. Therefore, we are a fellowship. I'm happy to be part of the fellowship. The second thing is this. What is the church? The second thing is this. The church is a family. My wife and I have two children, a daughter and a son, and we have four grandchildren. We're family. We're family. They're not disappointed. We're moving back. We thought we'd be here a few more years, but they're not disappointed. We're moving back. I was raised in a family of eight boys. Dennis, Johnny, Vin, Roger, Joe, Leslie, Lewis, and Kirk. We didn't know what a girl was for years. We were just raised with boys. It's interesting in a family. Anybody still listening? It's interesting in a, when I say the church is a family, we kind of go, oh, isn't that lovely? Well, some of you are not too lovely. I'm not too lovely some of the times. You know? Do you ever have one of those off days? Or is it just me? You know, there's times I can, there's times in which I'm glad I'm alone. I couldn't handle the Christians anymore. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody that. But let me say this. Family is an amazing thing. Because I just think of my family of origin that I grew up in. And we as brothers, we love one another. We're passionate about one another. We would do anything for one another. Yet we've had our times. It's been rough sometimes. We don't always agree. We didn't always agree. When you get a bunch of boys together under one roof, there's 10 of us, including mom and dad. Oh, there's times it was interesting. But we're still what? We're still family. Let me say this. The family of God, the family of God, the church, we all have our things we're dealing with. Amen? We all have things that, sometimes, our sanctification needs to be worked on. You see, sometimes the communion with God is shaky, but the union is permanent. Sometimes the fellowship with God, it's a little iffy, but the relationship with God is forever. Therefore, in the family, we always have to be careful of picking out, you see, the issue that somebody else is facing when we have our what? We have our own. Therefore, we need one another. We are family. There's times we're going to be growing spiritually, and it's good, you know. Times it seems we're down, right? In times we seem to grow really in a tremendous way, and then there's a pause. We almost plateau. Well, God knows what each of us are going through. Amen? And we need to assist one another. We need to be there for one another. That's why the scripture says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Work at it. Work at it. Work at it. So the church, you see, is a fellowship, and it is a family. 1 Timothy chapter 5 talks about the leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 5 talks about the leaders I believe this is important. In the choosing of elders, whether they be lay elders or whether we be paid to be good. The other elders are good for nothing. Some of us are paid to be good. But the scripture says it's important for the elders. I took this to heart before I was married. If I can't take care of my own house, how can I take care of the house of God? If my house is in spiritual chaos, who am I to lead the house of God? You see? Because it's a what? It's a what? It's a family. And the early church often met in houses. Therefore, everybody who came into that house knew what that leader was like, not only the person, but the household. And they chose on that basis, partially. Because we're family. We're family. We have to be real. We have to be real. The church is a family. We are brothers and sisters of one another. And one of the greatest joys I have in this church, it's a family of nations loving God together. I tell you, this is really my greatest joy being here. You've come from all over the world, and you are here today in this assembly. And we stand at the foot of the cross, amen? And we are equal. The ground is level at the foot of the old rugged cross. Yet we are one in who? We are one in Christ's beautiful reality. What a privilege you have to be part of this assembly. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation. This is not so in every congregation in Canada, but we are blessed here to celebrate that. We are family. Then it says this, the next one is this. Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, it works. The church is a what? It's a fellowship, it's a family, and the church is a body. And we have those scriptures. You can look them up some other time. Romans 12, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Romans 12 talks about the church being a body, and there's different members of the body. It's just like our human. Paul's using the illustration of the human body. We have the eyes, we have the ears, we have the hands. We are different members. We're not all the same. We're not gifted all the same way. We don't have all the same talents and abilities. There's different parts of the body. Who's the head of the body, by the way? What's his name? Jesus. He's the only head of the body, and the Holy Spirit is the only vicar of the body. That's biblical truth. So Jesus is the head, and we are the body. Not all of us are the eyes, you know, to look, have discernment. Not all of us are the mouth that deliver truth. Not all of us are the ears that can hear and listen carefully to what others say. Not all are hands. Now, it would be some grotesque body if it was only an eye or only a mouth. No, let me say this. Every member is a minister. That's why I personally don't like to be called a minister. I prefer pastor because I'm an under-shepherd. Because every member is to be a what? A minister. And every task that's performed in the church is an important task. Let me quickly tell you some of the most important tasks in the church. When strangers or new people come through that door or that door, somebody greets them with a smile and says hi, gives them a little literature, and helps to kind of get them settled. It's huge. Almost nobody returns if they're not greeted with a smile and care at the door, long before they listen to this good-looking, humble pastor. Another very important thing in the church is clean washrooms. What mother is going to come back to a church that has a dirty washroom? Almost none. Almost none. Never underestimate that little bit of cleaning that you've done, thinking maybe somebody today needs to be loved on in that simple way. The care of little ones, of children, it's so important that we have people who will serve God in the children's ministry. What a privilege for parents to be able to safely hand their little ones over to somebody who cares, and then they can come into the auditorium and without hear the word of God and worship and sing. You see, every task is important. And let me say this. Many of you here serve the Lord faithfully in many things that are not easily noticed, but God notices. And the first comers notice. You see, we are what? We are a body. God gave some to be pastors, teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of the ministry. so that the body of Christ may be built up. I intentionally do not do some things here because my calling is to equip you to do them. The shepherd does not give birth to the sheep, to the lambs. Therefore, my calling for these decades has been to try to help God's people to be equipped to get the work done. And I love it when I see men, women, young people step up to the plate and get involved. Winston Churchill said this to the United States many, many years ago. He said, the United States, if you don't get involved, at least give us the tools and we'll get the job done. That's my job, to give you the tools so you can get the job done. Please get over this idea that the pastor is to do it all. It keeps the church very small, very introverted, and it burns pastors out. Almost no pastors have pastored as long as I have because they burnt out. They have not had churches like I've been privileged to have that care, really care. I visit the hospital for 12 years of my pastoral life. My first 12 years, I visit about 2 times every week for 12 years. About year 12, something happened in me. I think it was a bit of burnout because I could not even drive up to the hospital, let alone go in. And the Lord seemed to teach me in that moment, you don't have to do it all. You can train others to do that. But I hear too many of God's people, he never showed up. Well, you didn't show up for the last 45 hours of my week. Do you understand? Because you are gifted to do that mercy calling. You are gifted to do the mercy calling. Some of you have small groups in your homes. What a blessing you are to people. Now, I will go on emergencies. You understand that? But we are a body, and we are to share our abilities and share our gifts. Otherwise, there would be major burnout. Then this next one. I like this one. Well, I like them all, as you notice. The church is a flock. It's a fellowship. It's a family. It's a body. It's a flock. We are sheep, right? We are God's flock. Therefore, it is cared for and led by shepherds, under shepherds. Acts chapter 20, you can read it, later on. Acts 20, 17 to 18, and Acts 28, and Hebrews 13 and verse 17. That's not up there. We are a flock. Our great shepherd is, what's his name? Who's the great shepherd? Jesus. But he has given to the church under shepherds. I guess I'm going to say it because I'm not here for a long time now. I'm here for a short time and a good time. I have met Christians who will not follow a pastor. They just will not do it. I don't know all the whys. Maybe they've been stung in the past, right? Sometimes that happens. They've been hurt in the past, and they haven't gotten over their hurt. But let me tell you this. God gives to churches pastors, under shepherds. And Hebrews chapter 13 says, one day, and this will be, I just say, dear Lord, this will be interesting. One day the under shepherds shall stand before Jesus Christ. And Hebrews chapter 13 says this, we will give an account to Christ for the flocks that we have led. And he says an interesting thing here. He says, Those spiritual leaders will be asked by the Lord. It's an amazing thing. Were they easy to lead? Were they willing to be led? Were they supportive? And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, it is better for the church if the pastor is able to say yes. Yes, because I know too many pastors who could not go long term because they were crucified by some in the church. They got so disheartened and so sad that they had to leave it. well, it'd be interesting when they stand before the Lord. We are not to idolize men. We are not to idolize pastors. But we have a calling from God we didn't ask for that was placed on us to lead the people of God. You see, that is part of being the flock and having shepherds to lead the flock. We are fellowship. We are family. We are body. We are a flock. Therefore, I encourage you today to have a key part of your life involvement and commitment to the local assembly, the church. Here we have it. There we have. Therefore, for North Life Fellowship Baptist Church, we believe that we encourage you to take that step of not only assembly together, not only participating in listening together, but take another step, which is become a member of the church. Rick Warren says the difference between an attender and a member is commitment. He said that's the difference between an attender and a member. It's commitment. And my dear friends, today, if this is the assembly that the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, is seemingly leading you to get involved with, I encourage you to become a member of this church. Take that step of commitment. A biblical reason, Christ is committed to the church. He loved the church. He gave himself for the church. We can never outcommit our Lord, who's the head of the church. Take a step of commitment. The other reason I believe we need to get serious about this, it's a personal, excuse me, I'm going too far. Goodness, this thing's working real good now. Working too well. Back one more. There's a practical reason for membership. We have a membership form here. I want you, the rest of you to fill it out. You may say, I don't go to the church. Well, go home and apologize to your church and fill theirs out. And it just say who you are, your salvation in Christ, right? Because we don't want people to be a member of the church and not a member of the body of Christ. And then just some information. We have here also for just to know who are we as a church. And you'll find them out in the foyer, the constitution and bylaws, because we are a practical entity in Canada. A practical reason. It defines who we can count on. What a beautiful thing when there's people within the body of Christ that are committed to membership and are members, and they're all in. They're all in. You can count on me. You see, that is a commitment. Why? Why is there a lack of commitment? Many reasons. I don't have time to deal with it. But be committed. No church is perfect. That's why we belong to this one. But we're being perfected. Then there's a personal reason. It produces spiritual growth. I know it's always dangerous to use personal illustrations. Because we all have our failings. But I am so glad today that our children and grandchildren are absolutely committed to the local church. Right while I'm here today. They're not naive. They know. They're pastor's children. And many pastor children can't take it because they know too much. But many do. And they are committed to the local assembly. We never force the issue, but we love the church so much, and we value you so much, and you've helped us so much that it's like it oozes out of us and catches the heart of our children and our grandchildren. You see, there's something about commitment in the local assembly that breeds personal and family growth. And I just challenge you to get all in. If not this one, find one. What does it mean to be committed to the church? Protect the unity of the church. Don't allow gossip to taint the church. You know how gossip spreads? It has an ear and it has a mouth. Remove the ear, remove the mouth, and it stops. It can only operate on the ear and the mouth. So don't listen and don't spread. Amen? That's part of guarding the unity of the local assembly. If we have a problem with somebody, go to them. If they do not listen, take a buddy with you. If that doesn't work, it will be dealt with in other ways. Protect the unity of the church. Share the responsibilities of my church. Every member, a minister. Share the responsibilities. I like that word, share. What does it mean to be part of the local assembly? I will serve the ministries of my church. I just pulled out before I came in. Oh, where is it? Where is it? And this, I'm just talking about our assembly here right now. I just pulled this out because it says serve the ministries. Some of you are gifted to work with children. Get involved. Some of you love teenagers. Get involved. Some of you want to help moms. Get involved. Some of you love the music world. Get involved. You see, there's so much. And the key to the influence of this church and this city and around the world is you and I. We're key. And I pulled this out. This is just one part of the ministries of this church, which is the worldwide ministries. We have the soup kitchen that serves people every day of the week, weekdays. Dozens come through here, downstairs. And their needs are met. All over this city, they are feeling your impact. Then we have ministries in Pakistan, Brazil, Honduras, ministering to Chinese students in British Columbia, in Ontario. We're helping a church planter in Quebec. We have somebody we are helping financially in prayer to reach the First Nations people of Canada. This is just a few of them. And then look at this. Look at this. We help a ministry that helps people who are blind to be able to function in life, Christian blind mission. We are involved in Zimbabwe. We're involved in Benin. We're involved in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania. We're involved in Romania. We're involved in Germany. Let me say this, not bad bang for the buck. Amen? What a privilege. You see, there's nothing like this body of Christ and the local assemblies worldwide. Amazing privileges we have. And then I will support the testimony of this church. Everywhere we go, in Fort McMurray or Anzac, we have another work there. Everywhere we go in these communities, we not only represent the Lord, but we represent, if you are part of this assembly, you are representing this assembly. From knowing you and I, do they want to come? I say, oh, my land, I never go there. I know so. You see what I'm saying? We represent the local assembly. We ought to be attractive for Christ's sake. So therefore, I want to read something in conclusion. How many like it when pastor says in conclusion? Raise your right hand. How many believe anything? It means anything. No, it doesn't mean anything. This was interesting to me, and I will wrap up here because we have a business meeting. True story. There was an Orthodox church just northeast of Russia. It had been closed, unused for 10 years. Got the picture? One of the Orthodox churches there. the officials of the Orthodox Church discovered in 2008, not too long ago, that one of their church buildings had disappeared. Poof! They were starting to grow again, you see? Post-communism. They were starting to grow again, and they decided, we'll open that church again. And they went to that area. The church was gone. Literally gone. Then they dug a little deeper to find out what had happened. They had to get to the bottom of this. After investigating the matter, the church officials did not blame aliens from outer space for the missing structure. Rather, they said the perpetrators were villagers from a nearby town. The villagers from the nearby town had taken the church away one brick at a time because there was this uncouth businessman who said, I will give you 4 cents for every brick in our money. 4 cents for every brick. And you know what happened? The villagers, they just chiseled out brick at a time, brick at a time. It didn't take them real long because there were so many of them. But the church disappeared one brick at a time. It wasn't bulldozed. I like what this gentleman says. He said that two-story church facility did not go from being a building to not being a building in one bulldozing stroke. Rather, the bricks were apparently chiseled out one by one by lots of people. In the same way, some churches built not of bricks but of living stones, you and I. Living stones. Christians, we are not reduced in one fatal stroke, but rather by Christians one by one choosing not to be involved. Stay home and watch a TV preacher. Read the Bible and pray, but don't mess with that organized church. Do your own spiritual thing. Each decision means one less living stone. In the end, the church intended by God to be on display for Christ's glory is chiseled away. Conversely, and this is what I started with, conversely, each person who gets involved helps to build a holy temple in the Lord made of living bricks where Christ is what? Glorified. You are absolutely critical to the body. And the body is critical for our spiritual growth. Amen? Let's take this seriously. And let's apply it to our lives personally, beginning this week.